So once again, with nonspecific defenses, the general purpose of the nonspecific defenses is to prevent a wide array of pathogens from entering the body. Or, second purpose would be if the pathogens do enter the body, to kill those pathogens and prevent them from doing harm to the body. The nonspecific defenses also do some other things. They look for abnormal cells in the body. They look for dead cells. They sort of act as scavengers to pick up any dead tissue or damaged cells, etc., and help to maintain homeostasis in that way. So I want to talk about some of the, there are six general types of nonspecific defenses. And the thing to remember about nonspecific defenses is that they are going to be kind of all-purpose. They prevent a whole range of different pathogens from entering the body or damaging the body. So they're going to be effective against anything from bacteria to viruses to parasites, to worms, to all kinds of things. And so some of these general or nonspecific defenses would include physical barriers. So anything that prevents pathogens from getting into the bloodstream. And keep in mind, the bloodstream and the tissues inside the body provide a wonderful home for many pathogens. They provide a stable temperature, a supply of nutrients, moisture, all the things that the pathogens need to reproduce. And unfortunately, that's what causes disease in many cases. So physical barriers are going to keep the pathogens out. Some examples, an obvious one would be skin, which prevents access to the blood and the tissues. The mucous membranes that line any of the openings of the body. The mucus in the mucous membranes help to trap pathogens and move them out of the body. And in some cases, there will be hair or cilia involved. If you think about the lining of the trachea and so on, you have a mucous membrane there, and you have cilia that are moving some of the trapped pathogens and debris up and out of your chest cavity so that it doesn't get into your lungs. Some other examples of physical barriers would be fluid flushing, and so things like tears or sweat that are moving from the inside of the body to the outside of the body often are bringing pathogens out with them or moving those out with them. So those would be some examples of physical barriers. Secondly, we also have chemical barriers, and these are going to be specific chemicals that kill or inhibit pathogens and act as they usually work on a wide range of pathogens. And so if you think of the sebaceous glands, for example, the sebaceous secretions block, or sebum, blocks the entry of pathogens into the body's pores. Lysosomes can be present. Lysozyme is an enzyme which can break down the cell membranes and walls and so on of bacteria or other pathogens. And some other chemical barriers, if you think about whenever you're eating food, no matter how well you clean it, there's going to be bacteria and possibly other organisms and so on the food that gets into your digestive system. But the digestive acids and the enzymes in the stomach actually destroy many of the pathogens that come in with your food. Now, they do not destroy all of them, but they do destroy a large number. If you think about the stomach acids, we'll talk more about them later in the semester, but they bring the pH down to about 4, which is pretty darn acidic, and has a good capacity to kill off many, many pathogens that might be available. And along with the digestive acids and the enzymes, I want to also point out that the acidic pH in the reproductive tract, the female reproductive tract, for example, has a rather acidic pH, which helps to kill bacteria, and the urinary system in most cases. Also, this helps to prevent some of the bacteria and so on that could otherwise cause problems. Now, a third type of nonspecific defense is the inflammation response. And the inflammation response is sort of a mixed bag. It is helpful in many ways, and it can be harmful in many ways. So, and this is true of many of the nonspecific defenses. These are not very, they're not specific. They're not real sophisticated, targeted ways of killing off pathogens. And so sometimes their functions can be a little bit mixed in that they do some harm and they do some good at the same time. And inflammation is a good example of this. Inflammation is a response to tissue trauma. So whenever tissue is damaged, there are chemical signals that are sent out which cause vasodilation. They cause the blood vessels in the area to dilate. And when they do dilate, they become more leaky, and plasma starts to leak out of the blood vessels. And this, in turn, causes edema or swelling. And also can cause localized heat. So the area that is becoming inflamed becomes hotter. And these characteristics, the vasodilation, the edema, and the localized heat, have a variety of effects. The first is that it attracts immune cells, a variety of different kinds of immune cells, some nonspecific and some more specific. And keep in mind, we haven't really talked too much about this, but there are many different kinds of white blood cells. And so these are attracted when there's an inflammation response. And secondly, the inflammation response tends to speed up tissue repair. And it does this by bringing more, as that plasma leaks into the area, it brings more dissolved oxygen, brings nutrients, all the things that are needed to rebuild any tissue that has been damaged or destroyed. Thirdly, during an inflammation response, there are going to be cells present, white blood cells, that are very helpful in terms of clearing away harmful substances, and also clearing away any dead tissue, dead cells, damaged cells that need to be gotten rid of. And fourth, the final characteristic of the inflammation response is that it brings the white blood cells, which are able to destroy pathogens, and also blocks the route of pathogens that may want to move to other parts of the body. And when I say want, I don't mean that they're thinking and plotting and planning that out, but that could move to other parts of the body if they weren't blocked in some way.